Say it with me. This is over 100 years old, by the way. This was written in 1912. Your Optimist Creed says, promise yourself to be so strong that nothing, and I do mean nothing, can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to who? Every person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family feel like there's something in them, something worthwhile, because there is. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and in your own life, make your own optimism come true. Promise yourself to work only for the best, to think about only the best, and to expect in your life only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own, and forget about the mistakes you've made in your past. You've learned from them, and you are pressing on to your greater achievements that are just right there in your very near future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give so much time to your own self-improvement, you simply do not have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and in your own life, too happy to permit the presence of trouble, because you, and yes, I do mean you, are an optimist. Welcome aboard.
When you can't find the light to guide you through the cloud and day, when the stars ain't shining bright, it feels like you've lost your way. When the candlelights of home burn so very far away, boy, you got to let your soul shine, just like my dad.
It's showtime.
Yes, it is. Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Thank you.
bless you.
Oh, that's a beautiful rendition of your anthem by Stevie Wonder. Interesting point of fact. I watched on, I think it was Netflix, I can't remember, but it was the making of We Are the World. It was like called One Night of Rock or something like that. And it was the coming together of all of the celebrity that existed essentially in 1985 to create We Are the World, written by Michael Jackson and, oh, come on. Oh, I want to say Leon Spinks. It wasn't. Come on. From the Commodores. How can I remember that but not remember? Anyway, that's not the point of me telling you this story. What's interesting to me is during that evening, that night, Bob Dylan was nervous and flappable. He was like flapped. I don't know, because I know what unflappable means, but he was flapped. He was the opposite of unflappable. Bob Dylan was nervous. He's like 46 years old, a megastar in his own right, and yet he was nervous by the presence of all these people, and this is a little bit out of his comfort zone, all this stuff. So he doesn't know how to sing it. They're like trying to get him to the like sing, and he can't. And so finally he says, can I just play it with Stevie Wonder? And can Stevie and I just play this for a minute? So he goes over to the piano and Stevie sits down. Stevie Wonder sings the portion that Bob Dylan was supposed to sing, and he actually mimics Bob Dylan's voice. And you see, once Bob Dylan can hear it sung through the body, through the mouth, through the genius of Stevie Wonder, he hears himself and he goes, oh, and you can see this, he just lights up. And then he goes to the microphone and bam, he sings his part. It was awesome. It was actually really Lionel Richie. Thank you, Dave. It's Lionel Richie from the Commodores. How do I remember the Commodores? It was before I was even awake. And it's Lionel Richie. He and Michael Jackson wrote that song in just a couple of days. They had a lot of time to write it, but they put it off. And Quincy Jones is like, we're doing this on like 2 days from now or something. Like, oh, man, we got to write this. Amazing. I found it fascinating because all of those people, Huey Lewis, Bruce Springsteen, Cyndi Lauper, Merle Haggard was there, actually. I had no idea that Merle Haggard was there. Well, Merle Haggard walked out. So you'd have to watch the special to see why. Marcus Aurelius said, right and good fortune are both on my side. He wrote that in his journal. Maybe Marcus Aurelius was one of the first optimists. Very sad day. I got a text message early this morning, 6 o'clock. I knew Toby Keith was suffering and had been diagnosed and had been battling stomach cancer. I did not realize he'd passed yesterday till this morning. Somebody texted me, and indeed, may Toby Keith rest in peace, a great American, a great country artist, and just absolutely a one of a kind.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
That's Toby Keith. You're listening to On Top of the World. Radio on Purpose. Today, we're going to be talking about a not-so-secret truth. Going to be talking about the fourth turning, Tucker's in Moscow, how to live in the present, what I'm learning from a Buddhist monk, hobbies that can save you money, and maybe these same hobbies could just save your life, we don't know. Ziglar on living the good life and mastering the game of money. What game are you playing? That and much more coming up here on Top of the World. Stick around. The Optimist Spelling Bee. A. Be ambitious. B. Be brave. C. Be courageous. D. Be diplomatic. E. Be enthusiastic. F. Be fair. G. Be grateful. H. Be humble. I. Be intrepid. J. Be jocular. K. Be kind. L. Be lighthearted. M. Be magnetic. N. Be noble. O. Be optimistic. P. Be purposeful. Q. Be quintessential. R. Be resilient. S. Be supportive. T. Be tenacious. U. Be unwavering. V. Be victorious. W. Be willing. X. And this was tricky. Be zenial. Y. Be youthful. Z. Be zealous. And most of all, to win the spelling bee of your own life, be you. Just as you are, where you are, with what you've got. And then watch out, world. It's going to bend to your will.
Imagine what you want. Then get out of the way. Remember, energy follows thought. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you ask for. Make sure it's really what you want. Because your mind is made for thinking, and energy follows thought. Your mind is in control, even when you do not know. And if you let it idle, ain't no telling where it'll go. Whenever you are sleeping and your dreams take you away, go on with your dreaming and listen to what they say. And if you hear spirit.
The philosopher Willie Nelson himself. Also, by the way, and no, I'm not obsessed with We Are the World, but Willie did have a wonderful role, a quintessential role in that song, We Are the World, adding his voice. Robert Stone said, for a thing to endure, it must be made of either granite or words. And it isn't just what you say, it's what you do. I'd put that granite right alongside what you do, because sometimes in this world, and you know this to be true, sometimes what you're doing so loud, I cannot hear a word you say. I'm proud of a few words I've written down. You can go to ilovehomeralaska.com/books and grab a copy of my book called Born to Live. It's a fabulous little story. You can sit down and read it in one or two sittings. and money back guarantee. It'll change your life.
Ain't no telling where it'll go. Imagine what you want and get out of the way. Remember, energy follows thought, so be careful what you say.
Do you know why the pessimist refused to play hide and seek? Yeah, you're ahead of me, aren't you? Because they were convinced they'd never be found. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio On Purpose. I'm Christopher Story. I want to say a quick thank you and a shout out to Horizon Wireless, 226-3130, Horizon Wireless. Not only are they providing some of the fastest down and upload speeds on the Southern Peninsula through their wireless network, the best, and I promise you this, the best service you could ask for. Horizon Wireless, call 226-3130. And I also want to thank, and this is the best way I can thank Captain's Coffee, and captainscoffee.com is by demonstrating the product to you. Hold on. Oh, that's good. Do you hear how energized I sound now? Do you understand the difficulty with which it... Do you understand how difficult it is to do this show? In the world that we live in it, you know what's going on. And I come here every Tuesday and am filled with optimism, hope, belief beyond what you could possibly imagine for America and your future. Well, that comes courtesy of Captain's Coffee. Captain'sCoffee.com. Wherever you hear this message, go online, captain'scoffee.com, and order your beans today. They'll be delivered to your door, and you'll thank me forevermore. The not-so-secret truth. President Abraham Lincoln, did you know, signed legislation creating, yes, the Secret Service only a handful of hours before John Wilkes Booth shot and killed him. Here's what I didn't know. The Secret Service was never intended to protect him. It wasn't a presidential detail. Rather, the Secret Service was formed to combat counterfeit currency. By the end of the Civil War, did you know, one-third of all currency in circulation, one-third, was actually counterfeit. Unreal.
I applied for a job as a disc jockey, WMBM on Miami Beach. I went to a guy named Milton Butterball. I said, how you doing, Mr. Butterball? I'd like to get a job as a disc jockey. He looked at me, he said, you have any broadcast background? I said, no, sir, I don't. You have any journalism background? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, we don't have any jobs available. I said, yes, sir. I went back to Mr. Washington and I told him. He said, don't take it personally. He said, most people are so negative, they will have to say no 7 times before they say yes. He said, go back again. So I went back again. I said, how you doing, Mr. Butterball? My name is Les Brown. He said, I know what your name is. What do you want? I said, I'd like to know whether or not you have any jobs at disc jockey, sir. He said, didn't I just tell you yesterday we didn't have any jobs? I said, yes, sir, but I know whether or not somebody got laid off or somebody was fired, sir. He said, no one was laid off or fired. Now get on out of here. I came back the next day like I was seeing him for the first time. I said, hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you? He looked at me with rage. He said, go get me some coffee. I said, yes, sir.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone.
You're listening to On Top of the World. You can hear this podcast and broadcast anytime you'd like. Go to our website, ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast, or wherever podcasts are available. If you're on Android, you can get a podcatcher. Just type in On Top of the World Radio or my name, Chris Story. Same thing with iTunes, wherever you want to get them. Amazon, Spotify, all that, we're there. Speaking of everywhere, you already know this, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Tucker Carlson is in Moscow. He's interviewed Vlad. This is going to be interesting. Tucker, in fact, is one of the, not the last, but one of the last remaining, I mean this, one of the last remaining journalists in America. If you're not subscribing to Tucker's network, it's okay. You can still see this interview with Vladimir Putin for free on YouTube or X. I get Sasha Stone's Substack sent to my email. She always carries Tucker's shows via YouTube, so that's a definite possibility. Pretty fascinating. I'm anxious to see the questions he asks and how they get answered. I mean, truly, just a we're at a pivotal point in the world. You know that. And to have somebody actually go to Moscow, somebody like Tucker, and do this, it's going to be worth watching.
And what about the times? Now I'm grabbing out at breaking glass in attempt to find a man, maybe, that makes it seem glorious or at least okay. But all I have is me. In a razor caught off guard as you brush by, the alarm wakes me out of bed, and the dream I was just having simply fades away. Blindly do I see, at the sunlight I am freezing, and as I start to come around, I want to fall back to the ground, roll over and make sense again. But it's too late, I am awake, and it's sensation I can't fake as I try my best to pretend. But once you wait...
My mother-in-law gave me a book by Thich Nhat Hanh. I'd heard of Thich Nhat Hanh, but I'd never paid attention to him or his writings or speakings or anything about him. She gave me this book for Christmas. And I've been reading a chapter every day, and it's really like a paragraph. They're very small. Sometimes I'll read two chapters, two paragraphs a day, ever since Christmas morning. And I got to tell you, it's a really pleasant way to start the day, to be reading about living in the present. If you've got one of our 100, and there's only 100 on top of the world coins, you know on the reverse side is inscribed, look forward, learn from the past, and live in the present. And that so aligns, and I have one of those coins in my library sitting right by my chair, and I look at it and I read it, the back of that coin, and I kind of think about that as I begin to wake up and come into the day. And then it's reinforced with these writings by this little humble man, Thich Nhat Hanh, spelled, by the way, T-H-I-C-H, Thich Nhat Hanh, last name H-A-N-H. He wrote about and spoke about in this book is really about a mindfulness practice. Basically, paying attention to the moment without judgment, paying attention to where you are, your thoughts, feelings, your breath in and out, feeling your breath in the moment. How does your body feel right here and right now? That is, in essence, mindfulness. That is, in essence, meditation. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to go on an ayahuasca tour in South America to find yourself. You're here. Also, letting go of worries, letting go of stress, and not blissful ignorance, but letting go of the stress in the moment, paying attention to this moment, paying attention to the dishes you're doing, paying attention to driving, paying attention to this cup of coffee, this beautiful, beautiful, blissful cup of coffee from CaptainsCoffee.com. You see how I wove that commercial right into a Thich Nhat Hanh moment? Nobody else probably on air could do that. Honestly, it's difficult to hold this much skill, but I do it and make it look easy. Deep appreciation for everyday life. That is another huge plank of Thich Nhat Hanh's philosophy about mindfulness, about being present where you are. Deep appreciation. He's an optimist. I know he was a Buddhist monk, but he was an optimist. Deep appreciation and abiding appreciation for every single day. This moment, and I am so grateful for this moment with you. When we come back, we're going to talk about hobbies that can actually save you money and potentially save your life, and the fourth turning. What is it, and how close to it are we when we return to the top of the world? What is optimism? I mean, really, at its essence, what is optimism? You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Chris Story here. Optimism, I think, can be defined a lot of ways. But Morgan Housel wrote a book called The Psychology of Money, and I'm almost done with it. It's a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. I'll be talking a little bit later about the game of money. What game are you playing? when it comes to money and what's your psychology around money. And that's coming from and influenced by Morgan Housel's thoughts in his book, Psychology of Money. And he wrote, and I just read this morning. I said, well, how fortuitous, because I'm going to be talking with you and I want to share this with you. And so as luck would have it, here you are. Here's what Morgan Housel defined optimism as: a belief that the odds of a good outcome are in your favor over time, even when there will be setbacks along the way. I'll repeat that. Optimism is a belief that the odds of a good outcome are in your favor over time, even when there will be setbacks along the way. That is Morgan Housel's definition of optimism. I like that. Every time I think about the odds, call me a child, if you will, but I cannot help but think about may they ever be in your favor from the Hunger Games. Ah, that just burned into my mind. That's good marketing right there. But seriously, a belief that the odds of a good outcome are ever in your favor. I just say it that way. They are. They're in your favor over time. Those two words right there, boom. That is the period at the end of the sentence. That's the exclamation point. That's the point of it, over time. Now, when you think about investments, you think about relationships, over time. It takes time. Tiffany and I, next week, I think it's going to be next week. We'll see. We've been talking about writing a book together. She and I have been together since we were teenagers. And we're not experts on relationships, but we know what we know about ours now, 35 years later. We know a little something about relationships. So we're going to be talking about and coming together. So I've been, you know, encouraging us to write this book. She's coming around to the idea and said, look, why don't we just do a couple of podcasts about it? Why don't we do a couple of conversations about it? I'll probably bring one of them here. For sure, you'll find these conversations at ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast, but I'll let you know about it. But essentially what I'm saying is you could look at on the continuum of a relationship, anywhere along that timeline, you can look and go, ooh, it's in trouble. Oh, now it's back up. Now it's back. It's over time is the good life. Over time are relationships built. Over time are fortunes made. In money as in life, it takes time. And when you have an optimistic view and you know that over time, the odds of a good outcome are in your favor, even though there's going to be setbacks along the way. I thought that was terrific. Good on you, Morgan Housel. I like it. Again, the book is called Psychology of Money. And here's what I love about that book. It's what people tell me about my books, specifically like The Backyard Millionaire or Born to Live, that they're like reader friendly. And his book is reader friendly, short chapters, to the point, punchy, and full of stories. Here are six things you should stop to start. You should stop assuming you can't. Why not? It's like Jim Rohn asked those four important why questions. Why not? Why not you? Why not now? Stop assuming you can't. Assume you can. Stop thinking someone else has got the market cornered. Yeah, somebody else is already doing that. Stop that. Stop blaming others for your current circumstance. That swings both ways. That's a pendulum. You stop blaming other people for your successes. Stop blaming other people for your failures. So whichever way you are, it's you. You are responsible. Give yourself the credit or take the lashes and move forward in a different direction. Stop blaming others. Stop waiting for permission. A long time ago, I figured out they're not coming for me. Publishers, they're not coming for me. I've got to go there. That's why I've self-published four books. I've got to go out for it. I've got to go after what I want. They're not coming for me. I'm not waiting for permission any longer. I'm going after what I want. You go after what you want. Don't wait for permission. Stop spending time on social media and spend time in social reality. We know from the Blue Zone work, Mark Hyman's work on the Blue Zones, and a lot of other people that have put a lot of time and energy into studying longevity and health, overall health and well-being over time, connection, deep-rooted connections in your community make a huge difference in your life. So get rid of, look, I'm on social media, but I'm not on my phone. I've eliminated any apps from my phone that have any ties to social media about 2 years ago. And here's the benefit for me, or the beauty of this whole scheme for me. I lost my Apple ID. I couldn't get back into the App Store to download the social media apps for about 2 years. And I didn't make a concerted effort to recover my Apple ID because I didn't care. It actually was an advantage to me that I'd lost it because I couldn't do it, even though I tried, let me go see what's happening on Facebook. Nope, can't do it. Can't do it. Now I can because I've recovered it because I need to go get a new phone after I have had this one for like 7 years. I need to get a new one at this point. I have no choice. Screen's cracked. It won't charge properly. Point is, I've got my Apple ID now. Sure enough, guess what Chris did? Yeah, he downloaded Facebook about 3 weeks ago or upload whatever you do to an app on the phone. And I suddenly felt this sense of this rush of like, I deleted it quickly, got rid of it. Social reality, connections in your community are going to last a lot longer than any like or dopamine hit on social media. Okay, stop holding your ideas to yourself out of fear that you could be wrong. Or the other side of the coin is you might be copied. Put your ideas out into the world. Whatever you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. Napoleon Hill said that over 100 years ago. It's still true to this day. Do not hold in your ideas, no matter what they're about. Don't hold them in. Don't hold back because you're worried you might be wrong. The fear of being wrong, or almost as corrosive, is the fear of, what if somebody copies me before I can, whatever, copyright, trademark, whatever. Don't worry about it. Bring your good ideas to the world. Bring them to the marketplace. You don't have to be foolish. If you've come up with some, patentable idea for something brand, okay, fine. Take some precautions and protections, but start talking to the right people. Start taking some action towards it. Don't be the person who dies with your music still in you.
Son, we're on the brink of the next world war, and I don't think nobody's praying no more, and I ain't saying I know it for sure. I'm just down on my knees begging the Lord to take me home. I wanna go home. I don't know which road to go. It's been so long. Just know I didn't used to wake up feeling this way, cussing myself every damn day. There's always some kind of bill to pay, people just doing what the rich man say. I wanna go home.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. That's Oliver Anthony. I love his music. I don't know why. Something about, well, everybody does, right? That's how he became infamous the last couple of years. So a friend of mine writes a Substack called Seward's Folly. His name is Greg Sarver. He's been a guest on this program before. You can go hear the podcast of that conversation. And he turned me on to a book called The Fourth Turning. And I'd never heard of it. It came out in 1997, never had crossed my desk, never in any realm was I aware of it until I read his Substack. And I suggest, it's free, by the way. You can go subscribe to Greg's Substack, Seward's Folly. He's a deep thinker. And because a liberal news organization pushed back on him constantly on his letters to the editor, his editorial pieces, he had to provide like 18,000 citations for every word he wrote. It helped him actually become a really great journalist in his like third iteration of his life. It's really interesting how Greg has developed into a great journalist. So go there to Substack, Seward's Folly on Substack. It's worth following. And he turned me on to this book again called The Fourth Turning. So I've got it now. I'm reading it. I'm not done with it. Greg really scared me because he said it took him two reads through to actually get it and understand it. So I said, well, great. It's going to take me three or four then probably. But I want to give just an overview of this generational theory. The fourth turning basically is a concept, it's an idea that history unfolds in cyclical patterns. And that's not a surprise, right? But with each one comprising four distinct generations. And then there's a crisis period period. And basically, the authors are supposing that every fourth generation is going to experience a crisis marked by a significant upheaval and then societal transformation. And if you look back over time, that's where we're at. And if you look around and you survey the landscape of the world, you can easily surmise that. And these authors propose that essentially these crisis periods are characterized by a sense of urgency and a need for collective action to address pressing challenges. Sound familiar? And then the cycle repeats. According to them, once the crisis is resolved, then the cycle begins anew with a new generation entering the first turning, stability and rebuilding. It's a fascinating read. I highly recommend it. As I get more into the book, I'll probably be thinking about it more, which means I'll be writing about it a little bit, which means I'll be thinking more. And sometimes I don't know what I think about something until I write about it. But I kind of wrote these ideas down this morning thinking, okay, this is what I'm getting from the fourth turning. It's not scary, like calamity, the world's coming to an end. No, it's just about understanding a historical perspective on how we got to where we are.
Well, yeah, I mean, giraffes aren't optimistic, really, and neither are raccoons. That human beings are able to do all sorts of things because we have hope and because we have optimism. That we start things and we stick with them for a day or a week or a month or a year, even though they're not hitting home runs, because we believe that a year from now, it's going to be worth the effort. That, if you look at the launch of almost any company, whether it's Google or Amazon or JetBlue, the early days aren't home runs. The early days are filled with optimistic people with a vision, who have a vision of something they're going to try to accomplish. If you look at the early sketches of Picasso or Jackson Pollock, they don't look anything like real Picasso and real Jackson Pollock. These are optimistic human beings who say, I'm going to start down this road. I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do it with a positive outlook, not because it's working today, but because I honestly believe it's going to work tomorrow. And if it doesn't work tomorrow, it'll work the day after that.
That was deep thinker Seth Godin. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. We're going to talk about money, mastering the game, and your hobbies that can save you both money and maybe save your life when we return to the top of the world. The one who has more money than brains doesn't have it for long. Author unknown. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here. I want to share something with you. There's no reason in the world to share this with you at all, other than this is the trust tree. I pretty much tell you everything. This is the taste of the world. I'm going to try something new with salmon that I've never done before. And you're like, who cares? I'm telling you this because maybe you've never done this either. I was thinking about salmon. We've got a freezer full, and I'm not bored with grilling salmon. I mean, come on, it's amazing. I'm not exactly bored with it, but I will tell you, I was thinking about doing something new. I wanted to try something and experiment with a couple of fillets, and I thought about poaching it. I've never poached salmon before. So here's the definition of poaching. You already know this probably, so don't scoff at me. If you do, just go along with me and bear with me for a moment. Poaching salmon is a gentle cooking method that results in a delicate and moist texture. Bring a pot of seasoned water or broth. And this is what I kind of wanted to know, if you had a clue. What does that mean, seasoned, like broth? Would it be chicken broth? You wouldn't poach it in chicken broth, would you? What kind of broth would you poach a salmon in other than water? Like seasoned water, I get. That's like maybe Old Bay or salt or, granulated garlic, a variety of different things that you could infuse into the water. But what does broth mean? Anyway, then add the salmon fillets and cook for about, and don't mock me for saying fillets because, I'm sorry, Gordon Ramsay calls them fillets. So I do as Gordon says. Cook for about 5 to 8 minutes until opaque and flaky. You can enhance the flavor by poaching liquid with aromatics like garlic's herb and citrus. So that sounds inviting, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it? Maybe it's just because it's winter in Alaska And I'm thinking about, I love going out to my grill. I don't care. Like the other day, it was like 4 below and I'm out there grilling. It was a gorgeous, beautiful night. It was cold and crisp. I didn't care. I was out there grilling. I don't mind that. I just thought, man, I want to try this poaching thing. So I'm going to report back and let you know how it goes. More importantly, I'll bring you Tiffany's unbiased, unvarnished opinion. And I say unbiased because you'd think that she would just support everything I did. No, she's very, 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 very honest.
I think grace and virtue, you came to my rescue. This will be a fine morning, a mighty old higher calling. Then I came to see you bring out the best in me. Talk about a fine morning, a mighty old higher calling. A gift on a rainy day, something to believe in. That's the beauty of it all, and all because of you.
Well, Willie, friend of the show, Willie suggested that I should have canned some of that salmon. I wouldn't get so bored. We have some canned salmon, Willie. We do. And salmon salad is fine. Grilling is fine. But I'm going to poach some. What's the problem with that? I'm just kidding. Why is he getting aggressive? I'm not getting aggressive. I'm just saying I'm anxious to poach it, and I thought I'd get a little support here. It's fine. All right, let's talk about some hobbies that can save you not only money, but might just save your life. Hobbies like gardening, growing your own vegetables, herbs, things like this. Growing your own. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Number one, it's not the quality you remember. It's just not the quality you remember. And the cost is outrageous and astronomical. So why not garden? Why not greenhouse? Why not grow something that is healthy? You know exactly what's been put on it. You know exactly how it was grown. My dad is always looking for different kind of heirloom seeds and so forth to grow different things. And I'm telling you, the greatest tomato, like an actual tomato that I remember from my youth in the 70s, is the only tomato that I can find like that is the ones that he grows in his greenhouse. What a great hobby. And what a great pastime to both save money and increase your health. Both save money and extend your health by keeping you active. All right, that's gardening. That's obvious. How about cooking from scratch? Learning to cook from scratch is a rewarding, money-saving hobby that also is healthier for you. So I will report back on my poaching. Hey, Willie, since you're in the mood to communicate, do you know what they mean by broth? What would be a poaching broth for salmon? It wouldn't be like turkey, I mean, not turkey, but chicken or beef broth. Or is that what they mean, do you think? And Willie, have you ever poached salmon with any success? Okay, so that's cooking from scratch. Jamie Oliver has a little book called Five Ingredients. I think that's what it's called. It's Five Ingredients. And it's about the only cookbook I've ever been able to have any success with because he dumbs it down for me in literal five ingredients. That's it. Like, I can't even screw it up. And every time I make a dish out of it, I feel amazing. The food is fantastic and I just feel amazing. So it's becoming a hobby. It's, you know, and it comes by naturally. My dad's the chef in our family. And so I'm coming around to it. I'm nowhere near that, but I'm starting to see the wisdom of how that could be a hobby that could save you both money and increase your health. And then DIY maintenance projects around your house or property is another great, if you look at it, not like it's a honey must do list, rather it's a hobby, and get cool tools to go with your hobby, you're going to save a small fortune. You're going to increase the value of your property, the marketability and future value of your property, and you're going to be more physically active and stay more abreast of what's happening in your home, but also you are going to physically be rewarded and increase your health by just staying active around your own property. But I got to tell you, I am collecting like quality tools right now. I'm talking about hand tools. I've got some power tools that are, you know, battery operated, whatever. That's fine. Those are going to come and go. But I'm talking about quality hand tools, from wrenches to quality screwdrivers and things like that. And just quality stuff that I can do projects more easily with around our properties, because I do some maintenance. We have a great crew of people on our team that do maintenance for our various properties, commercial and residential and so forth. But I like to do a little bit myself as well. And it's sort of like Troy Jones said of growing potatoes, he doesn't have to, but he never wants to forget how. And that's kind of where I'm at with maintenance. I don't have to, but I never want to forget how. And a big part of that, quote, hobby is getting the right tools. And for me, it's kind of become sort of important over the last couple of years for me. So those are a few things I was thinking about this morning. Hobbies that can save you money and increase and improve your life. Gardening, cooking from scratch, and DIY around your house. I had a really cool conversation with Michael Dukes this morning on his radio program, which, by the way, can be heard on this station Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. And I'm on Tuesdays, and he's stuck me in the last segment of his Tuesdays. It used to be 7:24. Now it's 7:45. So if you've missed me at 7:24, that's because Michael moved me to the last. He moved me to the back of the class. I don't know why. It's fine. Okay, I'm not going to. It's his show. I mean, you know that. It's named the Michael Dukes Show. Anyway, we talked about destiny, and you can go back and on his podcast at michaeldukeshow.com, listen to today's segment, and I'm at the 7:40 mark, or 7:45, anyway, something like that. So go to 7:40 because we actually have a little chit-chat before the radio show starts. And so this quote I want to share with you, it comes from Dr. Joseph Murphy. I'm not going to go through the whole thing that he and I talked about, but I do want to share this quote with you. If you change your thoughts, you'll change your destiny. And I have a plaque on my wall from Norman Vincent Peale. Tiffany gave it to me years ago. And it says, if you change your thoughts, change your world. I like that. Thank you, Norman. I like this maybe more from Dr. Joseph Murphy, emigrated. Hear that? Emigrated from Ireland, legally, in 1950-something. And in 1963, wrote The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, Dr. Joseph Murphy. And in that book, he wrote, if you change your thoughts, you'll change your destiny. That's powerful. That is probably the keystone of optimism and philosophical ideas around optimism and the outcome you'll experience in life. Your destiny is designed by, formed by, changed by the thoughts you entertain. And the thoughts you entertain from your subconscious mind, if they just start talking in the still small voice, that is programmed by the words that come out of your mouth and that you consciously think. You have control over that. You have total control over that. Isn't that empowering? Doesn't that feel amazing to know that your destiny isn't in the hands of somebody else? Your destiny is not going to be determined by what somebody does for you, doesn't do for you, says to or about you. And in this business, I have people that say things negatively about me. I know, you're shocked. I am too. Trust me, my mom is especially. Yeah, deal with that. This is her favorite show. It's the greatest show on earth, according to my mother. But the idea that somebody would just randomly just hate me because I say positive things, or one guy online can't stand me because of the way I say Homer, Alaska. Are you kidding me? I can't let that worry me. I can't let that determine my fate, my destiny. I can't let that enter my mind when I come here to talk to you about all things possible and positive, that you were born on purpose and with a purpose. I can't come to you and say whatever you can conceive and believe you can achieve if I'm worried about that person. Your destiny is going to be determined by your thoughts. Your thoughts are determined by your conscious mind and how you consciously program your subconscious mind, and largely the words we use. The words that you use make a huge difference in your life and those around you. You get to make a difference. You get to determine your destiny. You get to determine the interim between now and then, whatever that is. You get to determine what the road looks like. Yes, there'll be potholes, switchbacks and bends in the road you didn't imagine, didn't foresee, didn't count on, but you're still going to look optimistically to the future. You're going to control your thoughts, change your thoughts, change your destiny. On Thursday on the Backyard Millionaire, join me. We're going to be talking about living the good life, according to Zig Ziglar, and may your circle never be broken, and much, much more. For now, I'm Chris Story, reminding you to look forward, learn from the past, and never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present.